The following program is produced and distributed by KETR.org. You can help by visiting KETR.org and clicking donate.
In March 1991, two of Carrie Mae Parker's children were staying with her parents in the Waco Bay area of Lake Tawakoni, just south of Quinlan. That house is where Brian, her oldest, remembers seeing his mom for the last time. Carrie's youngest child, Mandy, was a baby and she lived there too. As for Brandy, Carrie's middle child, the one who filed the missing person report in 2010, she was living with her dad, Leonard, in Dallas. They moved there a few months earlier after staying with some of Leonard's friends in Garland, which is near Dallas. Brandy told me that going to a Fleetwood Mac concert was one of her best memories with her dad growing up. She was mesmerized by Stevie Nicks and her constant wardrobe changes. Leonard was a fun dad, and one of the few people in all this who everyone seemed to like. At that point, he had a good job and an apartment, and things seemed to be picking up for Brandy, only months after losing her mother. Until one day in November, while she was at kindergarten, and found out she'd also lost her dad. From KETR Public Radio in Northeast Texas, this is Buried, an investigative series and podcast about the 1991 disappearance of Carrie Mae Parker and about the three young children she left behind. I'm George Hale, and I've been following Carrie's family for months as they seek answers about her disappearance, and possibly the most difficult part of all of this has been meeting Carrie's now grown children, whose lives were altered when she disappeared. In this episode, we're going to hear from Brian and Brandy about what they remember of their mom. It isn't all pleasant, and one of the shared themes in their recollections is drugs, a subject that comes up continuously in this story. While it might sound weird after hearing everything you've learned so far, Carrie's friends and much of her family insist she didn't really use drugs. And since that question is going to come up again and again, I wanted to start at the beginning. So, the first time we spoke, I asked Brandy what she remembered about her mom.
Nothing good. I hate to say that. I remember not a whole lot. I remember living in a trailer in Rolling Oaks with her and Cody and my brother. I don't really remember my sister a whole lot being there. I know she was, but with her being a baby and me remembering so little, I mean, I hate to share a lot of bad memories of her, but I can't think of really any good memories to share.
Cody is Carrie's ex-boyfriend. They lived with Brandy and her two siblings in a development called Rolling Oaks on Lake Tawakoni before they split up. Mandy is Carrie's youngest child, who was just a baby when she disappeared. I met her late into making this podcast, and she told me she doesn't remember anything about her mom, which is a different kind of trauma. This episode is about what people remember about Carrie and the people around her, but we'll hear from Mandy later on about other very important events.
The only really, I would say, good or fond memory that I have of her is when me and Brian and her and Cody, her boyfriend Cody, that she was with for a while, were sitting at a gas station and the Tom's Diner song by Suzanne Vega came on the radio and she was humming along to it. And that song has stuck in my head ever since. You'll know it if you hear it. Everybody knows it when they hear it, but I would butcher it if I tried to tell you what it is. I try to hang on to that one. I remember that night Cody was outside of the truck pumping gas and she was humming along to the song and she smoked and she was like trying to entertain us with the light from her cigarette, like swirling it around and stuff. And I know that sounds really weird, but that's a fond memory that I have of her. Looking out the window at somebody coming in. I mean, other than that, I remember being scared with her a lot. I remember when I was in pre-K and Brian was in kindergarten, I got out of school at noon and he didn't get out of school till 3:30 or whenever it was. So the school bus would drop me off. The bus couldn't go down to our trailer because the roads were so bad. So it would drop me off at the entrance of Rolling Oaks where what used to be Big Boy's Pizza. And my mom would forget to come pick me up most of the days. Yeah, so I would have to wait there for literally hours for Brian to get off of the bus so we could walk home together. I remember that a lot.
Is that because you weren't supposed to walk home by yourself? Or?
Yeah, because I didn't know how to get there and because I was scared. I mean, yeah. 4-year-old pre-K kid. I mean, I don't even know how far it was. It just seemed like a really long walk for me.
Brian is Brandy's older brother. They're only 11 months apart, but Brandy remembers Brian doing his best to take care of her under the circumstances. Yeah.
They're just really, really bad memories. I mean, I have a lot of memories of her doing drugs with her and Cody. I remember seeing her shooting up, and I remember a lot of hours spent with just me and Brian locked in a bedroom while her and Cody did who knows what. Mm-hmm. I remember being hungry all the time. Brian really took care of me a lot. I mean, he was 5 and he took care of me a lot. I mean, he would make me food when we had food around, or whenever we would walk home together. When we'd get home, he would make me, like, we rarely had any food, but a lot of times we'd have bread and butter, so he'd make me bread and butter sandwiches. That's most of my memories of her about like that.
I don't often ask people for a breakdown of their mother's drug use, but I wanted to clarify with Brandy exactly what she remembered. That's because a lot of people insist Carrie didn't use drugs, or at least not hard ones like meth.
I don't know what she was shooting up. I just remember seeing her, like, cooking stuff on a spoon. And, I mean, I don't remember. I was so young, it's hard for me to, like, I don't remember physically seeing her put it in her arm, but I remember seeing syringes, and I remember seeing, like, the actual cooking of drugs. So, I don't know what all drugs you can do that. I know, like, meth is one of those drugs, because my uncle Mandy's dad, he was a user. So I have no idea what she was on.
Brandy's dad Leonard and Arvin were brothers, and they both suffered from drug addiction much of their lives. Arvin died in 2014 of cancer.
I don't think that her drug use was exclusive to any one particular drug, because I recall seeing that, and I recall my grandpa telling me that she had an addiction to some kind of pain pill. I don't remember the name of. He said that she was on cocaine. I mean, a lot of drug users just use whatever they can get their hands on, and I know that's how my dad was, and I know that's how Arvin was, Mandy's dad. Arvin, he's also my uncle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really confusing when I try to tell people, hey, this is my sister/cousin.
But Carrie's father, Howard Parker, told his children and grandchildren that she had drug problems. He also claimed that her involvement in the drug trade was somehow connected to her disappearance. Nobody is really clear on the details. Anyway, that's why I thought it was important to ask everyone involved about Carrie's drug use. I didn't expect to get so many answers, though.
Yeah, and he hasn't, when he talked to us about it, it was talking to me and Brian. So he didn't tell me anything individually. So we heard the same thing, but it's been 15 years, so how we remember it or recall it may be different. So what he told us was that my mother, a few days before she disappeared, he got a couple of phone calls from her where she sounded really upset and kind of frantic. And the last one that she, the last phone call she made said that Cody was digging a hole in, I think, his parents' yard or somebody's yard. And she was concerned about it because it looked too big to be a septic tank. And she had confessed to him that they ripped some drug dealers off of a couple $1,000 worth of cocaine. And he said that after she disappeared, he went to Constable Smith. They were friends at the time, and he made a report, and he said that he was asking a lot of questions and trying to figure out what happened to her. And he got a threatening phone call one day.
Either lost or stole some uncut cocaine, and my grandfather said it was $10,000 worth of uncut cocaine, and that it was their lives that were going to have to pay for it because they got it as a borrow. And that's the thing, too, is everyone who has ever mentioned my mom or said anything about my mom said that she didn't use drugs.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, to me, I have an issue with that because, like I said, you're going to be around the people you're like, and you're not going to hang around all these druggies and not use anything. So, I mean, even if she smoked pot, I mean, she still, you know, she had a crutch of some sort, and what that was, I don't know.
And yet, that's exactly what so many of Carrie's friends say she did. Hung around with a bunch of people with addictions and with dealers, but that she didn't use drugs herself. At least not the really hard ones. Some people remember that she took painkillers without a prescription, but nothing on the level of the people who surrounded her.
And I remember waking up one time whenever we lived at my grandfather's house. We were in the back room, and my bed was, you know, those, I don't know if you remember, there was like these things that went on top of your mattress. They were like egg carton shaped. They were like yellow foam.
Yeah,
that was my bed as a kid on the floor. And I remember waking up, and it's real foggy. And, you know, the only reason that I don't know too much, like I woke up and I remember seeing her snort something. And just whenever I think about it, I think, you know, those memories are so old now that it's hard to distinguish, was it reality, is it a dream? So and it's like, I don't know why that would image, like I have that, it's very vivid, but again, like it's difficult to distinguish it between a dream and not at this point. Now there are things that I know they're not a dream, but that particular memory of her. So like I said, I don't think you can hang around a bunch of druggies and not be one.
And you know, with the kids, I know she loved the kids, but I don't think she would. I know she wasn't that good of a mom because the few times that I did go to her house, like when she was with Leonard or whatever, you know, I didn't go to her house much. But when I did, there was dirty dishes, growing mold. There was kids' diapers laying around. You could barely even walk through the door, you know. Brian almost drowned in a 5-gallon bucket of water when he was a baby.
That's her sister, Patricia, who wasn't impressed with Carrie's mothering skills. But one thing Patricia says frequently in her sister's defense is that she didn't abuse hard drugs.
Me and my brother both kind of agree on this, that Carrie wasn't, like, into meth. She dated guys that did and all that kind of stuff. She probably did participate because she was with them all the time and selling it or whatever. But as far as actually doing it, none of us. And my brother was a dope head now, and he probably had more contact with her than I did, so he would know. But my sister was more of a pill head than she was, you know, anything else, if that makes sense.
While Patricia didn't hang around the drug scene so much, her older brother Glenn told me the exact same thing. That Carrie used to take pills without a prescription, but wasn't into hard drugs. I'm still not clear about why everyone seems to disagree on their memories of Carrie in terms of drug use, but not much else. I wonder if it's because she was so frequently in the room when others used drugs. Patricia remembers one time at her boyfriend Leonard's place in Quinlan, when other people were using meth. But she's pretty sure Carrie wasn't using it.
I don't think she did. And the reason why I don't think she did, and, you know, is because one time before, well before any of this ever happened. See, I left home when I was 15. And I got mixed up with some people that was doing it and doing cocaine, doing marijuana or whatever. And I had met with my sister when she was with Leonard at her apartment that she lived at in Quinlan. She's the one that showed me how to do, they called it crank back then, but it was meth, crystal meth, whatever you want to call it, how to do it without shooting up, because I was really, not really freaked out about needles, because you see I got a tattoo, but, you know, I didn't really want to go that route. Yeah. She showed me how to do it in a glass, but she didn't do none.
Patricia is not a drug user, for the record. She doesn't even drink. That clip is a little out of context in describing a moment from the late 1980s, but the memory is helpful for separating fact and fiction about Carrie's drug use. As for Leonard, whose house is where this took place, He is Brandy's dad and was Carrie's ex-boyfriend of several years before she started dating Cody. By all accounts, he was a kind-hearted person who loved heavy metal and hanging out not only with Brandy, but her siblings, too. Unfortunately, he was also a sufferer of drug addiction, at least when he and Carrie were together. But when Carrie went missing in early 1991, Leonard had managed his addiction well enough that Brandy could go live with him in the Dallas area. That's why she wasn't with Brian and Mandy in Waco Bay when Carrie disappeared.
My dad got a phone call on November of 91. This is a little weird, too. My dad got a phone call in 91, said that he needed to come and pick Brandy up because he never showed up to go pick Brandy up from school. So they went and did a welfare check on him at his apartment. The police called my dad and told my dad to go pick up Brandy. The police went to Brandy's dad's apartment to do a welfare check on him, and they found him dead from a drug overdose. So I kind of wonder whether or not his death had anything to do with Carrie's missing, because it was the same year. All of them were into drugs. Now, he had gotten sober and had moved to Garland and had a good job with one of the hospitals over there and was making good money. Otherwise, I don't believe that any of us would have let him take Brandy over there into an environment where someone's shooting up drugs. You know what I mean?
Do you think there's some connection between that? Or is it just
I know where I remember when, it's a strange coincidence if not, but I remember Quinlan is such a tiny town. It always has been. And it's like everybody knows everybody. Yeah. Everybody knows everybody's business. That's why I can't understand why don't nobody know nothing about this. Yes. And Leonard knew Cody. Leonard is her dad. And Arvin is the dad to Mandy, which is his brother. And now he's dead. Both of them dead now.
So even without knowing exactly what happened to Leonard, this is why Carrie's three children were raised in Waco Bay after their mom went missing. As for why so many people believe so many different things, it seems like we can trace a lot of it back to Leonard's family.
They had an investment in it as well because they believed that, you know, here it is 6 months after my mom dies, Leonard's looking into the case and he suspiciously dies. And my grandmother and Arvin were even suggesting to me that I needed to keep my mouth shut about it because I would be in danger. So, you know, whenever you have, and I'll tell you this much too, that my grandmother and my grandfather, even though, you know, they did not talk like that. Like they didn't like each other. Mm-hmm. I forget exactly why. I think, you know, my grandmother knew some of the upbringing that my grandfather done, and my grandfather just, I don't know, he didn't like many people. Mm-hmm. So, I think needed a break on weekends from the three of us. And so we would go over there growing up. And I'd spent a lot of summers over there. So they, like I said, you know, they didn't talk like that.
Brian says that in the aftermath of Leonard's death, his side of the family refused to accept that drugs were to blame. And there's a couple of reasons for this. But first, let me tell you quickly who he's talking about here. Leonard is Brandy's dad, the one who died of an apparent overdose in Dallas. Brian wasn't his biological son, but everyone remembers that Leonard treated him like he was. So that's why Brian considers Leonard's mother, Velma, to be his grandmother and refers to her as such. Brian remembers that both of Leonard's siblings, his brother Arvin and sister Bessie, believed something sinister occurred, not a drug overdose or suicide. He doesn't necessarily buy into everything they told him. But since Velma and Arvin are both dead, for the purposes of hearing their side of things, here's Brian telling me what he remembers them telling him at the time.
Okay, so the reason that they have their suspicion is, from what was told to me, is that he had been sober for a long time. I don't know what long time is. I don't know if it's 6 months or a year. And so he was able to gain custody of Brandy. And so he's got a job, he's working, he's got an apartment, he's got a car. So to them, he was successful compared to what he used to be. Mm-hmm. And he dies. And so My grandmother said that he had been looking into her missing and was trying to connect with the people because they all used to run in the same circle,
yeah.
is what she said. And she just kept telling me that it was odd because he was sober and he had brandy and he had things to live for, and things in his home were missing, a money jar, the television, and apparently there was a suicide letter that was written, but it wasn't his handwriting, is what she said. Another thing was, I don't remember if he was right-handed or left-handed, but the needle that was found in his arm was in the opposite, it was in the wrong arm. And my grandmother just said it didn't make sense, it didn't make sense, it didn't make sense. The autopsy report said that it was a cocaine, I do believe. But my grandmother had always said that it wasn't a drug overdose, it was bad drugs. I think that's why they were suspicious about it. Well, that's what my grandmother thinks. I personally don't know.
Yeah.
Like I said, and you know, I remember him coming out to my grandfather's house and bringing brandy so we could visit with her. And I remember loving him. I remember he was always good. Yeah. Apparently, like, I don't remember this, but my grandmother said that, you know, whenever I was born, Leonard was already in the picture, and he stepped up and took the role as my dad. So, I mean, he was always good to me, and I have good, fond memories of him. And as far as his habits and hang-ups, I don't.
Sure.
That's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
He was found in his apartment. The reason he was found is because I was in kindergarten, and he picked me up every day, and he never came to pick me up.
Yeah.
That's a day I'll remember for the rest of my life.
Sure.
Yeah, he was the first. My grandpa was the first phone call. He was the one who, when my dad died, I was at school. And they took me to a CPS office that was close to Love Field. And it was in the middle of the night by the time my grandpa got there. But he was the first person that they got a hold of. And that's how I ended up with him. And then, I mean, there was a bit of a fight with my grandma and my aunt about me staying with him. But somehow I ended up in his care anyway. Which is good because I got to grow up with my brother and sister. So
everyone I've spoken to remembers loving Leonard. Even Patricia, who wasn't very fond of many of Carrie's acquaintances, told me he seemed nice enough. So I can see why people who cared about someone so much had a hard time dealing with his death. But I can't begin to imagine what that was like for Brandy, losing her mom and dad 8 months apart, and then to have all the adults in your life telling you these stories. But Brandy believes her doubts were understandable at the time, and she doesn't blame anyone for asking questions.
Yeah, I think that the connection was made because my aunt and my uncle on my dad's side, they did not, I guess they had a hard time accepting that my dad killed himself, and they felt that other people were involved in his death. And I was talking to Arvin about it when I was a teenager, and I should have taken something that a drug addict said with a much bigger grain of salt than I did, but he said that he thought that my dad was asking the wrong questions about my mom to the wrong people, and that's why I ended up the way he did. And I think that me sharing that with just Patty and Brian and just everybody, and including myself, for a long time, I thought maybe he did have... Like, his death was connected to hers somehow.
Arvin, again, was Leonard's brother. Carrie and Arvin weren't ever formally a couple, but he's the father of her youngest daughter, Mandy. I learned more about that from Leonard's ex-girlfriend, Shirley, who Brandy told me was a moderating influence on some of her beliefs in recent years. Brandy said it came up after she started asking Shirley about the things she heard.
And it wasn't until a few years ago I was talking to Shirley, and I relayed that to Shirley, and Shirley's like, no, he got back into drugs. He killed himself. I mean, they were together. Shirley is a wonderful woman. Why she was with my dad, knowing his history, is like, cause she's never been into drugs. She's never done drugs. She's a good person. That's why I still have her in my life. And she has had zero obligation to me or Brian or Mandy. And she, after my dad died, she was, she would visit us all the time, and she stayed connected all these years, but she was just telling me about everything that he was going through leading up to his suicide, and she just confirmed for me that he was just going through, I mean, he had mental health issues and he was going through a lot of stuff, and his addiction killed him. But he, in talking to my Aunt Bessie, my aunt on my dad's side, she had told me that he tried to kill himself once before by drinking drain cleaner. Yeah. And Shirley, she gave me a suicide note shortly after talking to her about it, because she just wanted to help me kind of get that closure with that situation. And it was a, he wrote it on a like torn manila mailing envelope, and it was just one sentence. I did a little dope again and I can't stop. So, and then the ellipsis dots, and that was it. And there were rumors there for a reason. I mean, they weren't unwarranted.
Do you think that he really was looking into it, though, like separately?
No, I don't. He didn't have time to. I mean, he was a single dad. I mean, Shirley, she lived quite a bit away, so they had to travel to see each other. But he worked the night shift, and when he wasn't working, he was sleeping during the day. And when I get off at, when I'd get home from school, he'd be with me until he dropped me off at the babysitter at night. I mean, he didn't have time for that. I'm shocked that like he had time to do drugs. But yeah. I mean, he was a great dad.
The original plan for this episode wasn't to evaluate all the theories about Leonard's death, but over time I realized that learning about him helps clear up lots of things related to Carrie's disappearance, and especially the impact it had on her children. For one thing, he is the reason Brandy wasn't around when Carrie disappeared, because she was living with him in Dallas, and his death is the reason she ended up back in Quinlan with her grandfather and her siblings. Oh, and without knowing about Leonard, we wouldn't know where Mandy came from.
I know he loved my mom. I mean, he loved her a lot, and she really broke his heart when she had his brother's baby, so they were still together when my sister was born. He did not know that Mandy was his brother's until the day she was born, and they have very distinctive features, Mandy and her dad. And so it was clear the moment she was born that she was Arvin's baby. And that was, I think that's when their relationship ended. So it was a pretty awful breakup. Yeah. I don't remember how he handled it. But I don't imagine he handled it very well.
So there were lots of good reasons to talk about Leonard here. But I also thought that in the process, we could put some of the conspiracy theories to rest for everyone's benefit. But it hasn't been that simple, in part because the Dallas Police Department won't release the records we need. In making this podcast, I've been in contact with several dozen police agencies across Texas and beyond. Aside from a few misunderstandings and reasonable delays, there hasn't really been a problem. The sole exception has been the Dallas PD, my local PD. Even worse, Brandy requested the same files in 2012, 5 years before we met. She didn't get them either.
And I did. I actually sent a request to the city of Dallas. I don't remember what year it was, for all of my dad's, all the police reports and records related to my dad. And they sent me a letter saying that they had 30 days to comply, and they never sent me anything. Yeah. And I mean, anything that helps to separate those two. I mean, there's no theory around my dad. I at least get to have closure with him.
I'm glad Brandy feels that way, but it's really disappointing that the Dallas police haven't cooperated with either of us on this. I don't think anybody should have to wait years to learn how their father died, and it really isn't helping to put the conspiracy theories to rest. We have a complaint in with the state attorney general, and I'll hopefully have an update on that later. In the meantime, Brandy and I started collecting information on our own. She found two important documents. One is Leonard's original death certificate, issued November 8, 1991, the day after he died. It lists the cause of death as pending, because the city was awaiting results from the county medical examiner. The other document is an amendment to the original certificate, issued December 5, 1991. It lists the cause of death as toxic effects of cocaine. The manner of death is accident, not suicide, and the type of injury is listed as recreational drug use. Something else Brandy did was she put me in touch with Shirley, Leonard's ex-girlfriend from back then.
Hello.
In the hopes of clarifying what was going on.
He called me about 3 months after Carrie disappeared, somewhere around June or July, something like that, of the year that she disappeared. You know, I hadn't talked to him in 10 years. He called me because it was time for our 10-year reunion from high school. And so it was just so exciting, and we just were having so much fun. We just kept on rolling with it, you know. I can only imagine that he just, you know, was having so much fun, he just thought he could handle a little bit, and he couldn't.
And it was coke, right? That's what the death certificate says.
Have you seen the death certificate? That is what it says? Because yeah. I just always assumed that it was meth.
Was that, like, what he had problems with?
Yes. Yeah, maybe he thought he could handle cocaine. Who knows? I know that he was injecting it. And there was a spoon, and there was, when they found his body at his apartment, there was a spoon and the setup and everything. And then when we went to his apartment afterwards, his brother-in-law went through the trash and found needles in the trash. So, like I said, I was just assuming that it was meth. Nobody ever invited me to that party. None of my friends would ever come around me when they weren't clean. I just wasn't cool like that, and yeah. They didn't want me to see them like that, you know. And they didn't want to steal from me. The one, you know, that goes hand in hand when you start doing those drugs, you like to pick things up that aren't yours.
Isn't it true that there was stuff missing from his house?
The only thing I remember that was missing was his keys.
Okay.
We never found his car keys. We had to hotwire his car to get it back to his mom's house. You know, I was pretty much in shock. So, for me, the only information we got, he hadn't gone to work all week. Let's see, I think he died on a Thursday. He had gone on a Wednesday to work to get a draw on his paycheck. And he had two guys with him. We never knew who they were. We never knew anything. Nobody knew who they were. That's the only thing we ever heard. He went and got a draw on his paycheck, had these two strange guys with him, and then the next thing we knew, he was dead. So,
even though the Dallas PD hasn't released its records about the case, I found a few documents referencing their findings. They're in the autopsy that was conducted by the county medical examiner right after Leonard died. Here's how they described the scene. Deceased noted to be lying face up in bathroom area of his small one-bedroom apartment. Body fully clothed. Note found on the bathroom counter. Also collected at the scene was a syringe, spoon with residue, cotton ball, small plastic packet, and two capsules of an antacid. In the autopsy itself, the only recent injuries are injection marks in the crease of his right elbow.
Leonard left a note that said that he relapsed or something like that.
Yeah, he did. He did a shot last night and he just couldn't stop, you know, basically.
The death certificate doesn't say suicide, though. It says accident.
Yeah, which is awfully strange because the note was right there in his apartment.
I requested all those documents from the police. I'll be really curious to see what they say.
It was written on a manila envelope.
So Arvin didn't believe that he committed suicide?
No. They didn't believe that was his handwriting, and they did not believe that he committed suicide.
Did you ever see that note?
Yes. I was at the apartment. I had to show the family how to get to the apartment.
Did you think it looked like his handwriting?
I didn't know what his writing looked like.
Yeah.
Foggy memory, but it said, you know, I did a shot last night, and I just couldn't stop, period. Yeah. And then just the word, so, dot, dot, dot. Or maybe not dot, dot, dot. Maybe it was just so, and then he couldn't finish it. I can't remember if there was dot, dot, dot or not. The thing is, we got there the day after he died, and the police had already done their, you know, thing at his apartment, and we found the note.
It might not even be in the police report, then.
It might not.
And that would explain why they ruled it an accident, too.
Yep.
Well, the cause of death was eventually determined to be accidental. I can see where the suicide theory is coming from. For one thing, it seems like at first the police were leaning that way. I don't have access to their records, but the medical examiner copied some. They pointed to a few things found at his apartment that indicated not all was well. There was a DWI charge pending from March, which could lead to a license suspension. There was also a late rent notice delivered earlier in the day. The record adds that it isn't clear if Leonard was home when it arrived. As for the suicide note, the same institute that performed the autopsy reported that the note arrived in his laboratory the day after Leonard died. I can't see a copy of it from the report, but it's described as such. Hand-printed note beginning, quote, my life is dot dot dot, and ending, quote, dot dot dot, couldn't stopped. It said the note was printed on a manila clasp envelope containing reunion notices. I have no idea if the dots represent omitted words from the note or if Leonard wrote actual dots himself. As for the Ziploc bag, it tested positive for cocaine. Without the police records, it's hard to say exactly what happened, but it sure looks like a drug overdose. And while I can see why some people might believe he committed suicide based on the rent notice and other problems, the parts of the note that I have access to certainly don't say he wanted to die. To some people, neither seem plausible. And I think I see where they're coming from, too, with all the strange things happening around Carrie at the time. But it's also common for people not to believe a loved one killed himself or overdosed. Shirley told me of several instances in the Lake Tawakoni area where people died and friends and family tried to sweep it under the rug.
I told everybody, I told anybody, I told all the kids. I said, drugs kill you, stay the hell away from them. But they are ashamed of the fact, so they don't say it. They don't hear it. They don't believe it, you know. It's just drama. They don't know how to live real life and, you know, work for a living and do what they're supposed to do. They just create all this crap. They don't want, nobody wants to believe the bad stuff like that. Bottom line, they were drug addicts. The way they start thinking, I mean, I've just witnessed too much of it.
One thing nobody disputes is that Leonard loved Carrie, even after they broke up. I think that might be one of the real reasons people find it so hard not to link her disappearance with his death. Because it just makes sense to believe he wanted to look into it.
And he really cared about her, right?
He did. He really did. They just when they got involved in all those drugs and everything, and he just kind of dropped everybody else in his life, and they began their horrible, awful, dysfunctional, drug-addicted life together. And then whenever she disappeared, like I said, it was just a few months later, he called me up. I guess they had been split up, I guess, before then, but because I didn't hear from him for 10 years, something like that. Leonard did not know that that was not his baby until the baby was born, until she was born. He took one look at her, and he knew she was Arvin. And yet he still loved that child.
But how much did he love Carrie after that?
You know, he loved her. You can't unlove somebody once you love them, but you can certainly distance yourself from them.
That's what Brian and Brandy have been doing all their lives, in some form or another, even more so recently as they started their own families. I've heard the same thing from Andy. One thing that seems more clear to me after looking into what happened to Leonard is that the things adults say to children stay with them. If someone in your family tells you that your dad was murdered or that your mom was a hardcore drug dealer, it's easy to accept that as fact, and it's hard to let it go, especially if you're desperate for answers. If nothing else, learning about Leonard really helped me understand why Carrie's children are so exhausted by everything, why it's so hard for them to see eye to eye with a lot of their family members, and why they're all distancing themselves now.
I don't blame anybody for not pursuing it when she was when she disappeared. Like, I understand that they've had their lives and their families and those things that they couldn't devote, like the emotion or the resources. I mean, because that stuff that can take away from your family, and you know, exactly. That's not something that you want to do. So I think that it is totally okay and normal that they didn't want to mess with it until her kids were grown. But I've been dealing this my entire life, and now I have a family that I have to make my priority, and I can't, like, I have exhausted so much emotion my entire life in this.
Yeah.
I couldn't even begin to I couldn't begin to express the impact that it's had on me. And so I, several years ago, I think after my mom, we held a memorial for her. I bought her a headstone. Patty had it placed. After that, I said, okay, I have to be done with this because my family comes first. And that's kind of the stance that I've taken, because trying to have hope is so utterly exhausting. We've been dealing with this since we were 5 and 6. And we have had to deal with this on a level that nobody else has had to deal with or can frankly even try to comprehend. It's not something you can really understand unless you've been there. I mean, just... And this probably isn't the direction that you wanted this interview to take, but it's...
No,
I spent a number of years of my life when I was a kid because they didn't tell us anything. She was just gone one day. And I would be sitting in classrooms and just be daydreaming, staring at the door, saying she's going to walk through any minute now. And you can only do that for so many years before you just... It tore me up for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not even about the amount of time that it takes to
right.
to devote to it. It's just like hope is supposed to be something good and positive, and it's one of those things people tell you, be hopeful. Like, it's supposed to be a positive thing, but when you've had this kind of hope for decades, that hoping for something that's never going to happen, I had to let that go. I don't expect to ever know what happened to her, and I have to accept that.
Buried is produced by Emma Anderson and me. Its executive producer is Jared Knight. Theme music is composed by Brad Davis. Photography is by Brittany Greider. Cover art is by Crystal Sid. Special thanks to Jacqueline Smelly, Karen H., and Scott G. Buried is a production of member-supported 88.9 KETR FM in Commerce, Texas. To support this and other programming, go to ketr.org.
The program you're enjoying right now was made possible by a group of folks just like you who make contributions to public radio. Support programs just like this one. Visit ketr.org and click donate.